I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. This past August, Georgia Tech scientists discovered something truly amazing. A chirp and a flash of light revealed a gravitational wave 130 million years old, and the cause was a collision of two neutron stars. These findings are the first of their kind. They were revealed last month by a 17-person team at Georgia Tech. Laura Catenati leads that team. She's a professor of physics and a spokesperson for the LIGO Scientific Collaboration, which has made all of this possible. Hello there.
Hello, Celeste.
And also with us is James Clark, a postdoctoral researcher at Tech. Hi, James.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Okay, can I try to explain what a gravitational wave is, and then you can fix whatever I get wrong?
Sure.
Okay, so Einstein thought that when two big objects orbit each other or collide, it creates a ripple, like if you throw a rock into a pond. And when that ripple runs into stuff, it sort of pulls and stretches them, and which changes the fabric of space in a way, and it moves really fast, the speed of light, and it's invisible. Right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So...
Yes. Although we can define invisible. That's.
Oh, it may not be invisible.
Yes. Well, it's not something we see. So it's basically changes, it stretches and squeezing things, but it's so small, so it's invisible in the sense that it's really small. Just to give you a sense... These signals we find are changing the distance between Earth and the closest star by the thickness of a hair. So it's a really, really small change. And so it's really hard to see.
Why, James, did it take so long? We only were able to prove that Einstein was right in a couple years ago. Why did it take so long?
Well, it's taken, I'd say, about 50 years of dedicated research to design instrumentation with the required sensitivity, basically to design and implement all the required technology to get hammered down to the sensitivity to find these tiny, tiny signals.
Is it because they're taking place so far away that by the time they reach Earth, they're just really weak?
That's one reason. I mean, their amplitude dies off with distance, but they're just intrinsically small signals. I mean, yeah, the point is these ripples in space-time is very stiff.
Yeah.
As it were.
So what is this new? We saw, we got this chirp and a flash of light. Why is that exciting?
That's really exciting for us because it's for the first time we are learning about these events that are happening out in space. And we are observing them in a multisensorial way. So this chirp is a signal that we got in our data. And it's the equivalent of, when you hear the soundtrack of a movie, right? You get that kind of information. And from that, we learned that two neutron stars have smashed. And then from the lights, working with our partners, astronomers all around the world, they could identify the source. They could actually see the little flash of lights and observe it for days and weeks. And so now from the lights, we know that not only the two stars merged, but there was this ejection of neutrons that produced radioactive reactions that produced heavy elements like gold, platinum, and lead. And so for the first time, by putting together the information on gravitational waves and lights, we are doing space archaeology. We are learning where the elements are coming from. And that's really exciting. That's really new and innovative.
So I want to play two comments from you. The first is Ido Berger. He's a researcher at Harvard, and he's speaking to PBS NewsHour here, and he's talking about what you just described, that moment when the signal first came in.
As soon as we received an alert from the LIGO instruments telling us that they detected a gravitational wave source, we started calling up observatories all over the world where we have programs that are ready to go for that purpose.
And pretty much scrambled really quickly. So here's Duncan Brown, a physics professor at Syracuse, and he's talking about, again, what you were discussing, why this is so important.
This really is a new type of astronomy. We're now bringing together all the tools that humans have to bear on observing the universe. We can feel the ripples in space-time. We can see the light from things colliding out there in the universe and exploding, and the light from stars. And bringing all these tools together is going to allow us to learn so much more about the universe.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking about gravitational waves and some new discoveries with Laura Catenati and James Clark, researchers at Georgia Tech. So, James, what is it what new questions do you have in light of this new discovery?
Well, one question is, you know, how often do these things happen? How much gold and lead and platinum is produced in these collisions? Does it explain all of the gold in the universe? Are there other events going on that we need to kind of make up some deficit in, you know, kind of universal gold? I mean, that would be one big question. Another big question is, so one of the major things to come out of this was an ability to precisely measure the expansion rate of the universe and start doing cosmology with these things. That measurement gets more and more accurate and starts tying down some disagreements with different astronomers the more sources we have. So the more often we see these things, the more precise the measurements start getting. And maybe there will be more kind of open questions.
So, Laura, when we're talking about gold and platinum and all these heavy elements, is this making up the detritus of space? You're talking about two neutron stars smashing and merging, and then is there just a lot of metal floating?
Yeah, gases that are packed with atoms, and then at some point these gases will coalesce and make new stars and planets, and that's what we think happened a long time ago in our own galaxy.
130 million, yeah.
Well, yeah, or even earlier in our own galaxy when you know our planet was formed, it was formed out of those atoms that were produced when previously to neutron stars merged. So in that sense, we're doing archaeology of our own galaxy.
Right, so that's kind of going off what James said, like possibly that's what happened to form Earth and that's where the gold in the Earth comes from. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
So do we have the machinery and the technology to take this all the steps further that you want to answer some of these next questions?
Well, we need to, you know, we've seen only one of these events, right? So we are extrapolating a lot from this one thing we saw. So we want to see more. So LIGO and Virgo, which is our partner project in Italy, are going to be taking more data in the coming years, and they're going to be much more sensitive, which means we're going to be probing many more galaxies, and they are farther away than this one event that we saw. And we expect we're going to see more of these mergers, and we're going to follow them up electromagnetically, so look for the lights. And so once we have many of these, then we can reconstruct the history of our own universe by reflecting it.
Answer the questions about the questions. Big Bang.
Exactly. Right? Going all the way back there. Yeah.
Are you hoping that happens within your lifetime?
In my lifetime, sure, yes. I'm still young enough, I think.
She's being optimistic. So, James, is there a way to explain to people who are not scientists how you detect a gravitational wave? Are you listening for something? Are you watching for a flash of light? How do you see it?
We're essentially listening for something. So you can kind of imagine our detector somewhat like a big microphone. And we're waiting for those waves to come in and start creating this kind of alternate stretching and squeezing effect in the kind of membrane on the microphone. And we really do more or less listen for those signals as they come in. I mean, it happens that the microphone is a 4-kilometer-long laser in the middle of the desert and Louisiana swamps. But that's fundamentally the way that it's acting.
And Laura, do you end up having to explain the relevance of this to everyday life? Are we talking about issues which are just bigger and larger than a human life on Earth? Or is there a way in which all of this impacts, pardon the pun, impacts the way that we live here on this planet?
Well, the way I see these discoveries are helping, understanding how we got to where we are. So it's more of a quest for understanding our, how the universe got to be the way it is now. It's not explaining why, but it's explaining how. So it's part of our quest for understanding and exploring. So in a way, I see our work similar to when Galileo first pointed the telescope to the stars and he had this new great tool and look at how much we have learned. So I see it in that point. As far as our everyday experience, there have been spin-offs from all the technological research that has been done. So this is work that has been done throughout our collaboration, so not necessarily here. But there is lots of laser science, material science, that went into building the detector as it is now. And so there have been spin-off applications. There will be more. So in that sense, there will be things that will be affecting everyday life. But again, to me, it's really the quest for understanding that's being fulfilled.
And James, I mean, put this in context for me. I mean, is this sort of, I mean, in terms of excitement over this particular event, which I find to be very cool, but I'm a little bit of a geek. Is this like the Super Bowl of events? Is this like, I mean, how big is this for you?
For me, it's, you know, it's the, so far, it's the absolute pinnacle of everything I've been doing in my career for the past 10 years or so. I mean, even now when I think about it, I kind of still get hairs rising up on my arm. And it's kind of like when you're, or when I'm hiking or motorcycling in the mountains or the wilderness and I look out over some amazing vista, I kind of get the same feeling thinking about all the things that went into this discovery and all the things that we've learned and just the scale of our understanding and seeing what's going on in the universe.
Are you talking about a feeling of awe?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is James Clark. He's a researcher at Georgia Tech, a postdoctoral researcher there. And Laura Condonati is professor of physics at Georgia Tech and spokesperson for the LIGO Scientific Collaboration. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste.